following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
And welcome to Corolla Classics for July 7th, 2019. Happy Sunday. My name is Chris Loxamana, executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show, along with superfan Giovanni.
King producer of The Adam Carolla Show.
/ Corolla archivist. I'll give you even more titles. You come at me with a title, I'll give you more. All right, so this is the show. We're going to highlight the best moments from The Adam Carolla Show. And we got a killer lineup. All right, this first clip. From 2013, Mark Gergis is in studio, and Adam gives us one of the greatest drops in the history of man.
Later in the episode, during Allison's News for Adam Carolla Show 1166, this is from September 2013, Mark Gergis, David Wilde, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop, there's a news story about prisoners painting and what they often most like to paint, and Adam Carolla has a great suggestion. Check it out.
So there's a photo exhibit. It's in Brooklyn right now, but I think it moves around. And it's called Photo Requests from Inmates in Solitary. Or no, sorry. It's called Photo Requests from Solitary. And so people in solitary confinement at this prison in Illinois were asked, if you could see a photo of anything, what would it be?
Pussy lips.
Okay, that can't really be true.
No, it is. I mean, not what Adam said, but
well, they had to
come on.
They had to filter. Had to vet them.
They had to filter.
Oh, yeah,
this.
Of course.
Right. This was not. This was not your top 100.
That took them 17,000 requests before they got to the Taj Mahal.
Right.
Or some guy who Aurora wants to, Borealis.
Right. I want to see the blue sky.
Right.
Maxfield Parrish, please.
So they have some actual photographs, and then they have some of the unfilled requests. Perhaps what you just said, Adam, would be there. Mm-hmm. What I'm wondering, or what I'm realizing, though, is that I don't know that they ever actually get to see these photos.
Oh, really?
I don't know. That's the part that's unclear. But for people in Brooklyn,
kind of like
see them.
It's kind of like a prison Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's more like, what would people in prison, what would their wish be? Let's put it in a museum.
I looked it up. Number one, pussy lips. Number two, Monet's Days at Giverny. That's, ironically, just those were the
What's
first
the difference,
two.
Really, though?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for example, here's a request. I would like to see the downtown Chicago or the Lake of Chicago. It will bring me happiness to see a real nice picture of the downtown, please. A good place to eat or two, you know, nice cars. I've been locked up for 17 long years.
Let me say this, and I don't want to tell you how to live if you're in the hole, but hear me now. I, as a young lad who grew up in my own form of prison known as the Carolla House, watching the black and white 13-inch Zenith, the box that came in was probably about the size of the house. I used to watch the shows like The Brady Bunch and get depressed because they would have these Brady meetings where they all showed up into one room with the
and also that
furniture.
Cool Brady house that was
a nice
kind of,
cool arc.
Yeah.
That was cool. That Alice, everything was cool. The biggest problems they had was, you know, someone got a C- on a trig
Someone's
test
voice
or something.
Was changing.
Yeah, right. They had nothing. That started a band. everything.
They worked so well together.
I would watch that show and I just see Carol and Bob or whoever. No, wait, Carol
Mike.
And Mike Brady like climb into bed at night and kiss each other and she'd be wearing something fashionable and she'd have her hair all done up and stuff. And then I'd look at my pathetic family and want to kill myself. But then I would switch it over to like Sanford and Son or Good Times. And all of a sudden I feel a little bit better about myself. These guys should want to see pictures of Turkish prisons.
Right.
And
Midnight Express.
Tijuana Drunk Tank and shit like that where you go, you know what? Not so bad.
Not so bad here. Right. Why do you want to envy? Why do you want to think about where you can't ever be?
I want to see stills from the show Locked Up Abroad.
Exactly.
and not the reenactments.
Yes. And then you'd know just how good you had it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Instead, you want to see a bunch of pictures of pyramids and open sky. And,
I don't. You know what? I still don't buy it. I don't buy that this is anywhere near the top of the list of the pictures these guys want to see.
Pussy lips.
Why is everyone dying right now?
It might not be near the top.
I don't even think it's in the top 10,000.
I think they made
it
up.
I don't buy it. Yeah. I think this is a contrived story. I don't think there's any way. I've been in prisons. I was in San Quentin 2 months ago. I don't think any guy in there is telling me that I want to go outside and look at the pictures of the bay. I just don't think.
Yeah, they're making them sound like puppies or something.
Right, yeah. I mean, or, you know, kind of nascent poets. Give me a break.
Is San Quentin some of the nicest real estate on the planet?
The most gorgeous real estate. They talk about the budget here in California. You want to solve the budget? You move those guys to the high desert and you sell the real estate there at San Quentin. That view of that area is a developer's dream.
Every time I pass it, I just think, my Frozen God, rips. If they put a world, put a championship golf course on here and some condos, they could literally get rid of the deficit.
It's the most idyllic coastline that you could ever see.
And I mean, it's with the breeze coming. I mean, you know, we live in the valley. It was 117, all that. Not exactly. If you're in San Quentin. You got a beautiful fucking breeze on a peninsula
going by.
Look at that.
Look at the way it juts out there. And it's just.
All right. Because I've been to the prisons in the high desert. You don't need the big old rock walls anymore. Just the razor wire and a little cyclone fencing.
Right. Look at Tehachapi. Have you ever been up to Tehachapi prison? I mean, give me a break. You're never – or that other one that's down past San Diego almost by the border. I mean, that one, there's no way to get out of.
What were you doing in San Quentin?
I was visiting doing a parole hearing. Mm-hmm. And so you have to go in – and I made the – giant mistake at one point. I thought they were going to take me into custody of using the restroom in one of the cells there that's right off of the parole area. And the guy said, oh, you can't use that one. You got to go use the guards restroom.
Sure, we have a lot of rules about where you take a piss in this society.
Exactly. I didn't know I couldn't go into lockup. Even though I'm in the lockup with the guy, it's okay for him to take a piss, but I can't take a piss.
Why?
It's beyond me, but I wasn't going to question him. I wanted to get the hell out of there fairly quickly.
And there you have it, Adam Carolla with The Drop.
ringtone, text message alert, it's the best thing you can add to your phone.
You know, I'm just going to put a disclaimer. Do not do that, because if you get in trouble, I don't want you blaming us. All right, let's move on. This next clip is from 2017. This one, Mark Arrigus is also in this episode.
Phoner.
But not in this clip. Also featuring Daily Hagger. Tell us about this one, Gio.
Adam Carolla Show 2183. Garrigo's not in the clip. Daily Hagger and Michael Meyer were also guests. Not the serial killer, it's Michael Myers. Gina Grad and Brian Bishop. This is from October 2017. This is just Daily's segment. Adam explains at the top of the show who she is, how he knows her. Then Mike August booking her because his name came up in connection to her blog about these creepy dudes in the industry. And then a funny anecdote about Mike August messing up her name and Adam having no idea who he's talking about, only to then discover it was his writer on Too Late with Adam Carolla, his Comedy Central series from 2005. It's a hilarious series. It doesn't get a lot of attention because there was no repeats. Nobody else got a chance to watch it. I think it was a Daily Show that went after it before Colbert even. It was a really weird time slot, and it was a very short-lived series, but it birthed 1780s guy and all these amazing Adam Carolla Show bits, the infamous Steve-O coffee tables shenanigans. Daily was there for all of it, and now she's in the studio, and she confirms that Adam's not a creep, at least not in the office.
2017. I guess we were all wrong.
First, I'll say good day to Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. Dude.
Say doodle.
Won't stop saying.
Just a sidebar thought before. So Mark Arrigus is going to call in momentarily. He's going to talk about this whole Kaepernick deal. Daily Hagar, who worked with me on Too Late, writing many years ago on my late night show, is going to be in here because she had a blog or a column that got picked up and it got spread around. And it was basically... you got to be careful for now. We're in full witch hunt mode. Mm.
And
only there's actual witches,
right?
In this case.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
But I know what you mean.
No, I'll tell you what we're at.
Every rock is being turned over twice.
When we decide, when the news gets hot with pit bull attacks, then anybody who gets bit by a dog, the title is pit bull attack, and then you read in and go, it was a border collie, but it could have easily been a pit bull.
It may have a pit bull's lineage.
Right, because once we get going with something, you've been out here long enough, there's like freeway shootings, and then a kid shooting a BB gun next to a freeway, the title was freeway shooting, and then we'll figure it out. So
copycat.
Daily wrote a blog. It got picked up. Somehow my name got attached to it. And
ooh, this is going to be good.
Serial sexual harassment.
Yes. Mark Garagus. So she'll be in a second. And then Mark is on the line. Can I tell you, you want some super vintage Mike August?
Yeah.
Please.
So the reason Daly's coming in is because Mike reached out to her. And the reason he reached out to her is because on Friday, when we're going to Minneapolis, we were both sitting in the first class lounge at Delta. Even though I had a coach ticket, I got the black card. Gets you into that. Lala. Yep. And we're sitting
Delta's
in there.
Coming through.
And we're sitting there, and he's looking at his phone, and he goes, oh, Jesus Christ. And I said, what? And he said, you know someone named Dolly Hagar? And I said, she's like CNN International Middle East reporter.
I'm on tour.
Yeah, like, no. Well, apparently Dolly Hagar worked with you over too late. Huh? Oh, she wrote a whole thing about being propositioned and so on and so forth. And you're the only recognizable name. I said, I never met anyone named Dolly Hagar. I would remember like a woman wearing full ceremonial garb and the dot in the forehead and the whole nine yards
again.
To bindi and everything. I didn't have any of that. I don't remember anyone named Dolly Hagar, you know. And she's like, well, that's the part. And then I'm like, well, what is this? Oh, Daly Hager? Yeah, I know her. And it's like, oh, whatever.
Tide Brown.
Same thing. Potato, potato.
Daley. All right. Dolly Hagar.
Hello.
Or Daly Hager is here. She was the one who wrote the blog. Is it a blog?
I guess it's a blog.
Or tell them how we know each other first.
So I worked a million years ago for you as a writer, not a very distinguished one. I was young, but on Too Late, a show on Comedy Central.
Did I ever make any advances on you or any? We had attractive writers. I think we had two girls and a guy, right?
Yeah, more girls than guys.
More girls than guys, right?
All hot. Yeah, I felt very unsafe at all times.
Good.
No, you were like the most awesome boss. This feels ass kissy, but like you were like the opposite of creepy. You were like, I'm keeping my
huge compliments.
So you didn't encounter him that much.
No, like every day. But it just, yeah, there was no creepiness of that show. And like Kevin Hench, who I later worked for on another sitcom, like he's the best.
Well, that was another thing that was, I was looking at the article. The only two shows I recognized was my show and my friend Kevin Hench's show.
So which one of you did it?
Which was not Last Man Standing, which was
Tim Allen.
No, Last Man Standing was the one before. This was Christella. Sorry, he worked on that as well. Did Hench hire you for that?
Yeah, Hench hired me on Christella.
I want another bite at the molestation apple.
Totally.
That's what he told me.
The crazy part is that your name got dragged into it when I've worked for Charlie Sheen.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What did you do with Charlie Sheen? Anger management?
I worked on anger management. And honestly, he was not, like, I didn't deal with him very much, but, like, that was fine, too.
Can I ask you, all right, a couple of things.
Yes.
First off, I worked with Dan Dratch, who worked on anger management, Rachel Dratch's brother, and blah, blah, blah. And I'd say to him, like, what are you doing with anger management? I'm like, well, we got to pick up for 168. It's like, 168 episodes, yeah. How long, when do you have to shoot? We're shooting the next 7 weeks. Like something. I'd be like, okay.
We never turn the cameras off.
Pickups are like 8 episodes now on a comedy, or maybe 12 episodes, and they've got like 113 or whatever. It was just that whole anger management theme seemed insane, but that's a sidebar. Do you think? Here's what I'd like. You know, they do these things every once in a while where they do the news stories like, you better look out for the highway patrol. They're pulling over folks and giving them congratulations notes for not speeding. You know, it's a stupid news story they do once a year around the holidays.
Yeah.
Don't you think the non-predatory, non-douchebag bosses like myself should either get a that-a-boy or one free pass? Like, you know what I mean? Preferably one free pass. But what I'm saying is like... Do I just get to be the misogynist in town, although I don't do anything to anybody? I just get to be the misogynist dude from the man show. Never,
you get nothing
for the rest of your life.
Never gets a handy in a broom closet.
No. Nope. Worst of both worlds.
That's called lose-lose. No. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It's called nice guys finish last.
I wonder, and I've always said it's my sort of, I have a theory. My theory is your brain sort of knows who you are, and then you realize you have to kind of project something else. Oftentimes. It's my Ellen dancing theory.
Right.
Ellen starts her show off by dancing her ass off. I was at a wedding Ellen attended. Ellen sat on her chair the entire time for 4 hours while a world-class orchestra played and everyone took the dance floor. And it sounds like a Geico commercial, like happier than Ellen at a wedding with a big band, except for Ellen doesn't dance. So then you go, does Ellen love dancing? Mm-hmm. Or does she hate dancing? Because I can't figure it out. And then you realize she loves you to think she loves dancing, but I don't know that she loves dancing because maybe she rolled an ankle earlier that day, but she's at a wedding and she chose not to dance. Now, I don't like to dance, so I have an excuse, but if I did like
just
or
you
presented
and
that
on the sidelines
there,
grumbling.
So I have this theory that people sort of put forth something and oftentimes they're trying to hide something. The old Rosie O'Donnell with the cutie patootie chub club, and I got a crush on Tom Cruise. Oh, yeah. And
the koosh balls.
Yes, yes. I love Keith Partridge. He's so cute. You know, like all that. And it's all the angriest woman in the world. I have a feeling that a lot of these people that are going to end up getting fleshed out here in the media and as the days and months wear on and the people pop up, I don't think you're going to get a lot of people that should be on that list. Like, I'm the douchebag from the man show who said women weren't funny, so I should be at the top of the list who's doing the groping in the office because I'm the misogynist after all, right? Remember, I hate women.
You totally hate women.
I don't think they're funny, and I hate women.
Yeah.
So I should be on that list. I don't think you're going to find as many me's on that list. I think you're going to find the more champions of the woman's cause
the
on
Ellen's
that
and the Rosie
list, like the priest who wants to work with the underprivileged young boys, and he'll take them camping because he cares.
Yeah.
I wonder if you're going to find a lot
Wonderland
of the
Ranch
guys who care.
Wait, are you
so
a monster too?
I'm saying,
oh, sorry.
No, I hate kids. Example. What I'm saying is the traditional sort of guys like me.
Putting out that image.
I don't think you're going to find a lot of whoever those guys are. Like, you know, I don't know, Tim Allen or something. I don't think you're going to find those guys. I think you're going to find the guys who are at all the benefits with all the pink ribbons, beating the drum.
Huge donator.
Yes, I think you're going to find those guys who are involved more of it because they have a little more to hide than I do.
Yep. It's like when the gay senator gets caught toe-tapping in the airplane restaurant and everyone goes crazy.
Exactly right. All right. So you're here to say that I was not a predatory douchebag.
Absolutely not.
Don't want to put words in your mouth.
Not a predatory douchebag.
And Daly's very attractive. You should know that.
Thank you.
It took every fiber of my being not to reach out and grope. By the way,
she's no Dolly Hagar.
I got to tell you this. The reaching out and grabbing a booby, I'll be honest, if I thought it worked, I might think about trying it. But every story, it's never like he reached out, he grabbed my booby, made a honk sound, and I turned into melted butter. Next thing you know, we're back at his pad.
Yep.
It was like, it was always like, he reached out and grabbed my boob, and I slapped his hand, and I told him to get away from me. Like, it's like, why is that a strategy?
You got to be so freaking stupid to think that anyone, Brian, do you think that they would do that for any reason other than to be antagonistic? That's not a move.
My thought is it must work some percentage of the time.
No, it doesn't.
How can it work? How can it reaching out and grabbing a boob work?
But why do
I can
it?
Tell you unequivocally, it does not work.
Yeah. The problem with Gina is she has self-esteem.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, when you're in the same warehouse and a guy yawns, Gina, that doesn't mean he's grabbing your boob.
I mean, one thing about the guy who I did write the article about, who I was legally prevented from identifying, but he did have his own name tattooed on his arm.
Oh, no.
So he's not the brightest.
That narrows the field.
Not the best maker of decisions.
Form of identification.
You know, some people are just stupid.
Let's break it down. You wrote the article, I now learned, before the whole Weinstein thing went down.
Yes, which sounds like bullshit, but that happened.
And you wrote the article in what month?
It was probably 2 or 3 months ago.
And the article was going, was originally delivered where?
It was delivered to Lenny. I had pitched to them.
That's Lena Dunham's?
The Lenny letters.
Right. Okay. And they took it, and then somebody else got hold of it. And in this new world order we have where stuff gets put out, and then it's like one of those shampoo commercials, and they told two friends, and they told two friends, and so on and so on, and everything just goes, psh. It's kind of, everything's kind of like a venereal disease now.
Oh, God.
It really is.
You know what I mean? Like somebody just sleeps with somebody, and now that person sleeps with that other guy, and then next thing you know, it just goes, boom. Yep. So, so they pick it up, so they just, and you have a person, and you can't say the person's name because for legal reasons, but how do you know you can't say the person's name for legal reasons?
Because when I originally wrote it, I gave like identifying details. I tried to be as specific as I could, and then the lawyers of the publication, they have to read everything, and they were like, oh no, you can't, not only can't use his name, you have to kind of blur identifying details.
Was this
right, make everyone think it's Corolla.
Right.
That dude said women weren't funny.
He's like, well, come on, we all know.
Collection of Paul Newman race cars. Was this person the person, so in the story you mentioned, you went to drinks or dinner or something with like four other female writer friends or people in the industry, and you all had similar stories. Were they all about this person, or were they all similar stories?
No, different dudes.
Okay, I didn't know if it was all
totally different dudes.
So can we ask what the extent was with this person? Because that's the other blurry thing is, like, we don't know if the guy reached out and you slapped his hand or had intercourse with the guy or unwanted whatever.
And like, I think that's yours to tell. That's your story to tell.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel like I don't want to say his name just because of the Lenny thing, if it gets them in trouble. But, I mean, I can tell, like, basically, and I wrote about some specifics in the article, but this guy was not, he was not Harvey Weinstein. He didn't masturbate into a plant, as far as I know, maybe after I left.
Right.
But he was basically the equivalent in the writer's room. You know how, like, on sitcoms, you've got, like, all the writers gathered together, and it's super stressful, and you're trying to come up with, like, the best joke name for, like, a Mexican restaurant. People are like, Pink Taco. No, that's already a place. You can't do that.
Right.
It's that super stressful thing. So we'd be in the middle of that process. I'd be trying to, like, think of jokes. I was a staff writer. I was, like, wanted to do well. And he would reach over, and, like, one time I was wearing this sweater, the stupid sweater with zippers on the shoulders.
Right.
And he leans over while I'm trying to pitch and starts zipping and unzipping the thing, and which isn't of itself, like, sexual assault. It was just fucking up my game.
Right.
And he would do that, like, every day. So he'd do, you know, he'd come into the room and he'd be like, Daly's tattoo's making me hot, you know, or like when I was working, he'd come into my cubicle and like interrupt me and be like, so what are you up to tonight? Like,
singling you out.
And I couldn't work.
Well, you know what I always think about with all these guys? I know Harvey's situation. I don't know his brother situation, marital status. Like, is it just a sort of, this is an agreement we have with our wives, like, you do this, and then we'll walk down the red carpet, and we'll put our arms around each other, and then we'll drive home in separate cars? Or is this some sort of, you know, European relationship where the wife and the mistress shows up at the funeral? Is this some sort of thing? I'm trying to think from a psychodynamic, and I want to get back to this for a second, but I'm trying to think from like a dynamic standpoint, like, does Harvey get to return from New York and his wife is just reading on top of the sofa? Imagine one of those giant oversized French magazines.
Definitely.
And how you doing? Good. Can I make you an omelet? No, no. Like, is it business as usual? Right. This is our relationship. Or are we simply here like, I'm gay and it's 1960s and I'm Rock Hudson and I can't let the studios or the public find out. So we just have this marriage of convenience and we live in the same house. And the good news is it's 14,000 square feet. So we don't have to really see each other.
My first thought was it's the lifestyle. It's like she's bought in. Maybe there's kids. I don't know if they have kids or not. But
they do.
There's kids. There's the houses probably. There's the friends. There's the network. Everything. You know, I'm guessing it's the lifestyle. It's like you're married to the lifestyle. You're married to the guy.
I get that, but it's like Brad and Angelina get divorced.
Yeah, but they can go out and score someone else. Like, I don't know if, well, Harvey Weinstein came. I don't know if, you know, Mrs. Weinstein probably with the kids. And
I'd throw her one. If she was in my writer's room.
On zipper sweater?
That's right.
Maybe she was the one woman that the boob grab worked on.
Yes.
And the potted plant and all that. And she's like, yes, we'll be married in spring. Yeah.
So
what, it worked.
What is there? I mean, what we heard is annoying and crosses into some territory, but it's not boob grab
right,
material.
Did
that happen?
Nobody ever grabbed my boob.
Didn't he get Cheetos at your boobs?
Maybe technically. He did literally do this once. Like, he was eating Cheetos, and he just stuck one, again, while I'm trying to pitch, into my cleavage. It was just kind of resting. It was like a hot day on a tank top, you know, so I felt like, okay, maybe what I wore actually did cause this to happen. But no, he wasn't a grabber, and none of the things I've encountered have involved that. But they have involved married producers who are like, you know, basically your boss, you know, texting at like 11:30 at night being like, hey, let's go get some pie. Literally right. Pie. So stuff where you feel like if you say no, your job might be in danger. Yeah. That kind of shit.
And the Cheeto thing's pretty common because I worked at a very large corporation while I was sitting at my desk trying to work. And the boss stuck two pencils down my pants while
really?
I was working. Indeed.
I mean,
since I've been in Los Angeles.
Mm.
I mean, I happen to work for the Adam Carolla Show. I'm not saying that's who I have. No.
It was
before.
Really?
It's a large corporation.
They get, you know, the thing, Dr. Drew always used to tell me that when guys get in a position of power, their testosterone levels go up.
I buy it.
And
I heard that.
And I wonder how much of this is like biologically driven. Not the Harvey Weinstein, but the sort of just, I'm the big rooster in the hen house. Like, I need to do things. Meaning, if you did that to a fellow employee, you'd be fired. But I, who am now dripping with testosterone for the first time ever, because I wasn't the captain of the football team, and now I'm infused with some newfound testosterone, I'll walk around and do little indicators that I'm in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I think you're right.
We're also lucky you were All-Valley on the football team. Thank God you were. Think about a monster you'd be today.
There's an element I think that's true with me that I was an All Valley football player, so I got it out of my system a little bit, and then B, I just got my ass kicked by life for so long that by the time I was the boss, I never felt like the boss.
Well, and you know what it's like to be assaulted multiple times, so you didn't want to put some people. Exactly.
The stuff my friends have done.
Thank you.
The stuff. That I tell Lena I got to write a blog because the stuff that I had done to me was absolutely insane.
Dear ladies, you think you got it bad?
Oh yeah.
But now what do you think? But you must have heard some Weinstein stories. You must have known people.
Oh, sure.
I mean, everybody
Cosby,
kind of
same.
I would hear. I didn't even hear Cosby sexual stories. I just heard what a colossal prick he was, and I heard more Weinstein colossal prick stories than this. You guys got to realize there's these guys are both. They're nice fellas. They're predators and colossal douchebags at the same time. So for you, Daly, I think you should write a. I think we need more positive stories. I think we need more positive stories.
For the betterment of society.
For the betterment of society. We need to have an honest dialogue about who isn't a lech. And you should probably entitle your next blog entry, Adam Carolla, Hero.
Totally.
To women everywhere.
Adam Carolla, not all heroes wear capes.
Mm-hmm.
No, it is true, though. Like, the bosses I've had who've been cool, like, kind of make the shitty ones. And there's kind of a thing, like, you don't want to complain about your boss. And you never know why you were fired from something. It's like my friend who dumped her boyfriend because his balls smelled bad. Like, she didn't tell him that. Like, he's probably like, yeah, it was too much man for her. Yeah. You know, everybody's got, like, a false narrative. But I do feel like it's good to, like, shout out, like, hey, these guys are good. Like, act like, and they're successful. And be like them. Don't
Thank
be a
you.
Dick.
For every Adam Carolla, there's a Daniel Kelsey. They want him lumped in the same
No,
group.
God, no.
That's right. Hey, buddy. Daly Hagar. Daly, thank you for coming in and straightening this out
Thanks
with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm so sorry that you got dragged into this.
Yeah, I have a weird reaction of most stuff, which is I don't care. And I also feel like there's a lot of guys who should be losing a lot of sleep these days over certain things they may have done in the recent past or even even the not so recent past, I don't have any of that. So I don't, like, my feeling is, it's the same thing I sort of say how, if OJ was innocent, it's the reaction he would have, which is, are you kidding? Bring it on. Like, no way. Yeah, I'll sue everybody.
But what really bothers you, and I think rightfully so, is when the information is out there and it's wrong.
Yeah, I don't like that. And I also don't like that I get to wear some, you know, married for 15 years, pretty decent husband, better father, and all around a decent family guy, that I get some sort of mantle as, you know, Neanderthal, misogynist, caveman from the valley. Like, it just doesn't...
Racist.
Yeah, right, it's racist. Yeah, like all that.
And I don't like people getting in trouble for jokes. Like,
yes.
That was, I tried in the piece to really be clear, like, dirty jokes are fine. Like, they're great.
They're welcome.
Fun, yeah. Just, but the, you know, zipping my sweater was not really a joke. Just creepy.
Yeah, and you felt like, well, I don't know, maybe your employment hung in the balance. Like, if you would have said, hey, don't touch me ever again, like, or I'm going to go complain to you about something, that wouldn't work out well for you.
Right. Well, what actually happened, I didn't complain. I kind of just laughed it off. I tried to make jokes that would kind of make it worse. It would get, you know, and I didn't say anything, but some other guys complained to our boss because they were afraid somehow they could get sued. And, you know, they didn't know what to do. And so my boss calls me in and he's basically like, so listen, the Daily and Blank game, the guy's name, it's distracting the room. So we're going to move you to this other room, which is like the shitty writer's room with four people and no script. And so from there, and again, you can never tell, oh, I was fired for this reason. You know, I might have sucked.
Well, but no, you get labeled, not you, but one would get labeled, you're hard to work with.
Yeah.
You're uptight.
Right. Yeah. So even though I was laughing it off, so that was kind of how it went down at that particular place. Just annoying.
The website, LennyLetter.com, is where you can go. And we'll see your offerings there daily.
Yes, you will.
I mean, not every day, but that's her name.
Sometimes.
Thanks, Daily. Appreciate you
so much.
Coming in. I forgot I had two female writers and one male writer.
You are a hero.
Yes. It was built like a female.
Progressive.
Reed was his name. Yeah, very progressive. Back before it was hip.
And we're back. Chris and Gio here. And I want to remind you, if you want to see Adam Carolla live, he does this show called Adam Carolla is Unprepared. It's going to be in Portland July 19th and 20th. Tickets are going fast if they're not sold out already. Get them now. Get them now. Get them quick. All right. Also, he's going to be in Montclair, Pasadena, Agoura Hills, at the Canyon, in all three cities, Friday, July 26th through the 28th, with Adam Ray in that weekend. So come out and see Adam Ray do stand up and pull Adam Carolla's balls. All right. This next clip, Gio. Oh boy.
Dawson is a thirsty guy.
He's a thirsty dude. Green juice, but it doesn't end there.
He adds his own broccoli to it, and maybe he adds something else.
Who knows?
Well, he's working. Adam Carolla Show, 1562. Chris D'Elia, Dr. Jeremy Rudnick, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. This is from April of 2015. During the show, Dawson gets a little parched. It goes a little something like this.
Hey, Dawson.
Yeah, boss.
Were you nipping from a flask earlier in the show?
Just a few minutes ago, yeah.
It sends a... negative message to me.
No, I feel you.
I had my agent fall asleep at the screening of my documentary last week,
right.
And now I got to stare through the window at the engineer just taking a hit.
It's a real flask. It's been just a long day, I guess.
Understood. But couldn't you slam heroin in like a more discreet way or something?
Because I got to see Sunday.
That flask. I agree. Nothing wrong with a nip.
It's homemade whiskey.
But I'm saying it fucking really kicks the light off.
He's got to keep the show interesting somehow.
It's like, oh, Adam's.
It's like a real flask.
Adam's going off about children's books again.
But aren't you glad he told you the truth instead of, well,
that's
what
true.
Happened was, yeah. And then gave you the explanation?
He just went, yeah.
Well, he's sitting 9 feet from me, and I watched him sip off
of it. I saw you see me.
It'll be a tough putt to say.
I saw you see me.
No, those were eye drops I was drinking in a super decorative container.
It's Sunday, man.
Listen, I don't judge. I'm saying it.
He's envious, if anything.
To any performer, it's, you know, if you see your engineer going, oh, boy, there he goes on the LA trash again.
Yeah.
God, we're only an hour in.
That's not a first day on the job thing.
Oh, man.
All right.
Seriously, pass it over here, then.
We got some news.
You know my favorite part about that clip?
Have a flask?
I do, but I don't bring it to work. Also, it's just Jocelyn replying, I saw you see me. It's just perfection. It's perfection.
It's peak Dawson.
I was in tears in the engineering room.
It never gets unfunny.
No, Dawson's Dawson. And that's why we love him. All right. This next clip. We still get a lot of requests for this one. And it really is just a truly great moment. Dave Coulier of Full House fame. He was Uncle Joey.
Yep, and also America's Funniest People he hosted for quite a while.
That's right. Well, he comes in the studio, and Gina reminds him of something he did back on her morning show that she wanted to show the guys, which is very cool of Gina, because what Dave has is he possesses just an insane talent for recreating Celebrity Wind.
Who knew Adam Carolla would find this funny, and to such a degree that he finds it funny on this clip? It's amazing. If you've never heard this before, you're in for a treat. If you've heard this before, listen again and laugh like crazy, just like Adam.
In 2016, episode 1815 of The Adam Carolla Show, Dave Coulier in studio.
Dave, you mentioned, you said, like, oh, students are upset about, but it sounds like it was one student who laid one tweet. Why would you change your bit if it was just one person? Why are we catering to such a vast minority?
Because it's happened a few times now, okay. But that was the first time someone reacted in social media and tried to, like, start a fire something. With it. You know, and here's my deal on stage. I'm a glorified birthday clown. I go up and blow hand farts, do voices, and I play my harmonica.
Hold on, I don't know hand farts. Is he a new comedian?
Hand farts.
And by the way, doing that on stage, I'm assuming that takes place in the green
room. I do celebrity wind impressions.
It's very specific.
Hold on, I'll tell you what.
All you got to do is name a celebrity, I'll do their wind impression.
Should I name the celebrity?
But yeah, you can name whoever you want.
Possible.
Burt Bacharach.
Well, the young,
I know what his farts sound young, like, and that's why I want
to test this.
That's why I want to test you.
Are you talking about the young Burt? Are you talking about Burt Bacharach now?
Younger Burt in his prime.
All right, here we go.
That's it.
Oh.
I was behind him in a flight of stairs in 1977.
Oh. Now you want to hear the difference now?
Yeah, like, yeah.
This guy's in love. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It really has changed.
Yeah.
Name anybody. I mean,
I'm out.
No,
I got a short background.
on the morning show, I believe one of the scenarios was John Goodman in loose shorts around 2 p.m. at the craft service table.
Oh, okay.
All right,
so scenarios.
Yeah.
All right. He's not wearing his Tommy John underwear.
Yeah.
It's like he's here.
I don't mean to correct you, but that was Charles Barkley.
Was it really?
Yeah, I know it's your pants. I know it's your
One more that went kind of the opposite direction was Sarah Palin after she found out that she was no longer in the running for president and she was wearing pantyhose.
Oh.
Well, how about a timely one? What did Ted Cruz's wife sound like after she got elbowed in the face?
All right, here we go. You want to know?
She did take it by surprise.
She kind of whirled around there. Yeah.
All right. This is Gwyneth Paltrow.
All right.
Okay. After one of her $200 smoothies.
Okay. All natural.
Yeah. As she's stepping off of the Vespa. Stepping, doing that move where you have to step off the Vespa scooter after dropping your kid off at school.
I got it. Just it's a quick
right.
step.
That sounds right.
She's in shape. Just
yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Well, we'd argue.
Yeah. That's dead nuts on. Yeah. I was there. That is dead nuts on.
Do you want her now after like a fat burger?
Yeah.
Very all right. much.
Yeah. This is
the fat
double
burgers.
King cheese, chili, and an egg.
All right, here we go. Gwyneth Paltrow. By the way, your kids are going to love Jimmy Booger.
They're going to love it.
There's a song called We Love to Fart in there. And as you scroll through the pages, the music starts playing.
Oh.
So Robbie Wyckoff, the lead singer of the Roger Waters Wall Tour, is in this. Dave Koz plays sax.
Yeah, great sax.
We got some great music in here. That's a lot of cool music. A lot of jokes for parents.
Again, let me just put that out there. Available now, exclusively on iTunes. Let's see.
We can go back to farts anytime if you want.
We'll do one more.
All right.
Oprah. Oh. She's going camping with Gail.
All right.
Okay. And they had Dinty Moore stew that night, and she. She's doing that move where she does not have to use the bathroom, but since the bathroom is the woods and she has so much pressure built up from the Dinty Moore stew, she tells Gail, I gotta go pee off. I'm gonna walk away from the camp, but she's really doing it just to release the gas that's been building up. Over the night, they had Dinty Moore the night before, and then the following morning, she's going to get as far away from the campfire as she can to really just let it fly.
All right.
Dave stood up for this.
All right. I got to grease the handle a little bit on this one.
I like the pop and then the release at the end.
I'll be honest. I don't see why you need that Bruce Jenner star in your act.
It's so good.
Oh, it's making me laugh so hard.
Oh.
All right. You got to come to my house and then we're going to Kimmel's house. Because you're going to find a pretty good audience over there. Yeah. All right.
I mean, where do you go from there?
You go to the news.
Yeah, must we?
You got to go to the news from here.
And we're back. Chris and Gio here with another clip for you. But first, if you haven't rated and reviewed this show on Apple Podcasts, please do so. It really helps the show. And we love hearing from you guys. Let everybody know you're loving Corolla Classics. Thanks so much for hanging with us on this lovely Sunday. All right. I guess you could say that we're connoisseurs of great moments of the Adam Carolla Show.
Adam Carolla is a connoisseur of many fine things in life.
Like
race
what?
Cars, homes, warehouses.
Sure.
Paul Newman stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Race suits.
Are there any other kind of connoisseurs?
I don't know what else he's into, but maybe in this clip. Adam Carolla Show 1176, Allison Rosen and Brian Bishop, October 2013. It was an Ace Awards nominee that year. Goes a little something like this. Adam's into some interesting items.
YouTube is changing the way that they do their commenting system. Right now, just whoever does the most recent comment shows up at the top of the commenting thing under a video.
Mm-hmm.
But they are going to use several factors to determine what pops up. So, for example, posts by the video creator or popular personalities, that would be us, you guys,
mm-hmm.
Posts with engaged conversations, posts from your Google Plus friends will appear at the top of the stream.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be different for different people looking.
Would you take a happy filter on your computer, like they talk about filters on cable TV or satellite for the children? Would you take a happy filter. If you put something up on YouTube, let's say, and you want to see people's reaction, it's like, hey, douche fuck, this fucking sucks, whale cock douche. And that's the first one.
You can actually, you'll be able to filter out certain words.
Keywords like whale cock.
And douche cock. Uh-huh. Only the cocks.
Yeah.
With cocks, comma, whales, and douche. Oh, I would be tempted to. But then I'd be like, no, really, I should just get used to whale cock and douche cock.
Mm-hmm.
So that then I'm not vulnerable
mm-hmm.
if I'm without the filter. But I would be tempted.
Yeah.
I'd be tempted to. Because I think
you got to limber up for whale cock.
Well, how do you start training, though?
Well, you start with a Norwal or one of the smaller whale variety.
Right, right.
I think the Norwals. Find out the average
length. I think blue whales are actually smallish.
Blue, small. No, I think blues are huge.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, blues are the biggest.
Thank you. I didn't make them.
Yeah, you don't start with the blue whale.
That would.
Yeah, the blue whale's the big one. Sperm whale's a big one, too. I think the blue's the biggest of all there. But Norwal, now that's a whale you could start with. And then you work your way up, like, you know, like graduated, you know, butt plugs. Not that I know a lot about that business. I know a fair bit about that business.
Sounds like you know a little bit.
Obviously, I know the Lucite graduated butt plug business, but I wouldn't know, other compounds. Mm-hmm.
These are not terms the average person would know, especially about butt plugs.
Look, the fact that the average butt plugs is 77 millimeters tall and weighs 3.2 ounces is the kind of thing that I do feel like most people know.
I consider myself pretty well read, and I don't know that. I've never encountered that information. I don't even know what they're made out of.
I don't sit around and talk about the circumference of the average butt plug, 41.2.
You just did
millimeters. That would obviously be, well, actually, that's the width, circumference. If you want to just talk about the circumference, that's 72.22 millimeters, which is roughly 2 13/16.
You know, they're making up these numbers with remarkable.
I took geometry.
Yeah.
Never learned that.
I'm not some kind of fucking weird butt plug fan. Yeah, I got a couple rolling around in my car, but that's no big deal. Several of them came with the car. Yes, I supplemented, the original.
I just bought a car, and I did not receive a butt plug option. Should I go back to the dealer?
Okay. Now, you know what? First off, this is comical that you guys are accusing me of being a fan of butt plug.
You seem to know a lot. Seem versed.
Maybe there was a butt plug or nine in the glove box when I got the car, or maybe I put them there. I don't know. I don't remember.
Well, the difference seems important.
At this point. And maybe, yes, there's a couple in the rear, pardon the pun, in case I break down.
And how would that be helpful?
Because I cannot get to my silo of butt plugs that I keep in my home, okay?
Okay.
And I may be waiting several minutes up to an hour for the AAA guy to come. Mm. And oftentimes, because I've checked, those guys do not carry butt plugs. And the ones that do, mum's the word. You know, it's not something they brag about.
Well,
if I have to go down to use my app to find the closest butt plug emporium, for instance, I could be walking through a very, very dicey part of the neighborhood looking for the butt plug emporium for Herb, who's the manager, although he doesn't work daytimes. He works night shifts at the butt plug emporium. That's off of Reseda. That's catty corner to the Hughes Market. It used to be Hughes. It's an Albertsons now. All right. Your tone. I don't like your tone. Is what I'm saying.
We just think it's interesting. We think it's interesting that you have a... I mean, you have a silo of
and
butt
I know,
plugs at home?
I know where the...
A
I,
silo
I know,
of butt plugs.
Well, first off, it's not a large silo.
Yeah, silos come in many different sizes.
Yeah, it's a medium to large silo, but it's not a ginormous silo.
I mean, how many butt plugs are in it?
Well, first off, what butt plugs are we talking about? Are we talking about the self-insertion or the mount insertion?
Or the what?
Well, there's obviously they're the ones that are inserted through one's own hand, and then there's the mounting ones, the ones that come with ones that have a base.
Okay.
That one would take a warm bath, sitz bath oftentimes,
right.
Dilate,
okay.
You know, the area.
That
and
makes
then,
sense.
Now, don't, obviously, not all water soluble lubes were created equal. So Don't just go, you know, to, you know, Joe Blow water soluble lube place and just grab whatever's closest to the door. Step up to something that's, you know, if it's less than $5, don't even pick it up. And then what I do is I'll put it in the microwave with the butt plug.
The lube for just, and the butt plug?
Yeah, well, not together. Because whether the lube
becomes, don't make that mistake.
First off, it's too viscous if it comes out at room temperature, but when you heat it up, it'll slide right off the butt plug. So what I'll do is I'll warm up the butt plug in the microwave.
Okay.
33 seconds, not 30 seconds.
Does it get
seconds,
too hot if you go too long?
Well, I immerse it in water.
Oh, it's smart.
And then the water heats it up because otherwise it just doesn't hold up well. I mean, it'll work for the first 1,500 times you do it, but long run? If you really want to get your use out of it.
I understand you want, it's an investment in you.
Right, right. And the fact, and I know you guys are going to go, but Adam, if you're not so into butt plugs, why did you have your car seat removed and a butt plug put in its place?
I was going to ask that.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah, that seems like
okay,
the
first
activity
off,
of someone who's very, really? Very like
do either
far
one of you
into
have
their
do either
butt
one of you
plug.
Have children?
No.
Then you don't know anything about safety or being a father, do you?
I feel like I know something about safety, regardless of
a bit,
okay,
yeah.
But until you've been a father, you don't realize how important that role is.
We both have fathers. We've known a lot of fathers.
Okay, let me say this. I'm driving along. Mm-hmm. I'm just sitting in your conventional death seat, as I call it.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, head-on collision through the windshield.
Yeah.
But with butt plug... Quick contraction.
You're anchored.
Not going anywhere.
Can I just be the first to say that your story of why you're not really into butt plugs that you just told us really checks out and really holds water, and I would like to be the first to apologize.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've never heard, like I'm going to go, what? Butt plug? What are those two words put together? I've never heard of that. No, I'm not going to sit here and do that. Yes, I've heard of butt plugs. Yes, I have a membership in a butt plug of the month club. Yes, I own a chain of stores throughout the United States that sells butt plugs. Yes, I have many of the molds of the prototypes that have been brought over from parts of Asia that I use to make my own butt plugs. Yes! As you can find me oftentimes in the Butt Plug Museum, which is in Rochester, Minnesota, by the way. Not New York. Yes, you can find me as a curator of the Butt Plug Museum. Yes, I admit to all that, but am I into butt plugs? Hardly.
So you're a home plugger.
That's right. And see. Thank you.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Sip it, cunts.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
Ah.
Sausage anal beads.
Enzyte, everybody. Forgot about... How about them thinking man up there, huh? Hmm? You want a little erectile quality? No, it's not the quantity, as I keep explaining. It's the quality.
Yeah.
Enzyte,
I'll take one great one over a half dozen mediocre ones.
That's right. Millions rely on Enzyte. Confident performance anytime, every time. Just take one capsule a day for peak male enhancement. Like taking a vitamin. You're looking for the most powerful, erections. The most powerful imaginable. Enzyte, baby. Enzyte, the thinking man's product for erectile quality. Dawson.
Score a special
Enzyte. Please say Henter.
Score a special Enzyte trial pack for the sack and receive a 10-day sample of Ogoplex for the ultimate male experience free with your order. Call now for the most powerful erections imaginable with the Enzyte trial pack for the sack. Call 1-800-364-9680, 1-800-364-9680, or go to smilingbob.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease. Free trial requires Via Life enrollment with future auto shipments. Enter.
Now, just because I commissioned a dirigible shaped like a butt plug.
Again, these are
intend to fly it over the Super Bowl this year.
If you were just, it just seems like a casual relationship with butt plugs, like you wouldn't be doing this.
You don't think so?
I don't mean to accuse.
Well, you sure sound like it, monkey nipples. Oh, yes. There's a strong air of accusation in your voice.
As long as I've walked God's green earth, I've never met someone who's done all this.
Am this close to taking the two butt plugs I currently have in me and removing them and putting them in my ears. Okay?
Yeah, why two?
I kind of have to know. Are they in succession or are they side by side?
Tandem?
They start off tandemly. Obviously, I'm not a weirdo.
I'm sorry for implying.
But throughout the course of the day and weekend, yes, they can shift around like luggage in an overhead compartment.
Oh, like the announcement, please be careful when you open.
Yeah.
Luggage contents may have shifted.
Just shifted. Shift. Replace content with butt plug. Okay. And yes, they go in sequentially like a train, but oftentimes come out.
Yeah.
Like Siamese twins.
If there's turbulence.
Yes. Okay. And I'm this close to removing those two using my butt plug squire that I keep with me at all times. Jermaine. I'm this close to summoning Jermaine to remove these butt plugs and place in my ear so I no longer have to hear the lies.
Yes.
That you levy toward me.
About you being way too into butt plugs.
Yes.
No, it's no judgment.
Yeah, I mean,
to each his own.
It's fine if you want.
Yeah, hey, congratulations on your butt plug silo and your cottage industry.
If you think your condescending tone now is going to get me to open up about my
passing interest.
My passing interest for butt plugs. It's not the fact that you tell me it's okay. I've seen the good bad butt plug moved on many times with the cop going, you know, I understand you get a little upset at your old lady. Sometimes
I just want to hear more. I just want to know you, and I want to know what you're into. And it seems like butt plugs are high on the list.
Look, again, people assume that because a guy has a dream catcher fashion of butt plugs that he hangs above his children's bed. That because he sleeps in a bed that's shaped like a butt plug, and because he has, again, a medium to large size silo. And
seems like a safe assumption.
That he is into it. Well, you would be wrong. And that's why you don't assume. Because when you assume, you make an ass, which is quickly fill the butt plug out of you and me.
I've learned a lesson here today.
That's right.
Getting so worked up about it for someone who's not super into butt plugs.
I will... And by the way, I don't threaten women because that's not my way, but I'm this close to lifting up the front of my shirt, hitting the ice cream man change dispenser that I've had modified to hold butt plugs, and pulling one out and casting it at you right now. Okay?
I don't think that's necessary.
Okay?
Okay, I see. Okay, fine. You're not into butt plugs.
Will it be a suction cup variety? Will it be a free-formed hand use one? I don't know.
I didn't know they come in that variety.
I'm going to make that a surprise for you.
Okay.
Thanks. Oh, yes.
I look forward to being hit with a butt plug.
And I've got
from
a
the change belt.
From your modified change belt.
I just want to say this right now. If Walter Bozeman, the man who pioneered the butt plug.
Who?
Walter Bozeman. Walter Bozeman, the man who pioneered the butt plug in 1871, was here right now.
I never heard it.
Oh, so please. Everyone knows. That's a household name.
Maybe
that's like Jacuzzi.
They don't teach history well in school anymore. But I never encountered this Wally Bozeman of the
Walter
butt plugs.
Walter Bozeman, if he was here right now to hear what you, this blasphemous, what comes from the tongues of you two about this saint's product, this hero's product, he would never stop vomiting into his butt plug.
Well, thank God he's not.
And you say, "Why? How do you vomit?" Yes, many of them.
I was wondering.
Many of them have cavities in order to accept other butt plugs, like this Russian dog.
Like Russian nesting butt plugs.
Okay. Obviously, those aren't the ones with the suction base. I'm this close to calling up my good friends at LegalZoom. Take you two out. You want to start a business? Perhaps the emporium I'm speaking of. You use LegalZoom, baby. You got a small business. You need LegalZoom. They've helped over 1 million businesses get started, and they're ready to help you at LegalZoom.com. Whether you want to launch your small business or your dream, baby, save hundreds of dollars. You need them. You don't need to spend a whole lot of money on attorneys. You go to LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Form an LLC, get a DBA, incorporate, or form a nonprofit, all starting at just $99. Plus, save even more when you enter Adam in the referral box at checkout. Help ensure your business and assets are legally protected at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom can provide self-help services at your specific
direction or connect you with an attorney, but they are not a law firm.
Okay. Again, I am going to go out to the plug-mobile, and I'm going to drive home, and I'm going to pretend this never happened. You understand me?
We'll never speak of it again.
Please. Please.
Ah, we're back. Well, Chris, I know what you can get your boss for Christmas this year.
Oh, I already bought two.
For him.
All right, thanks so much for hanging out with us this Sunday. We had a blast. Hope you're enjoying this show as much as we are. And also, if you haven't checked out The Water Cooler, the other podcast I do with the Cruel Digital staff, please subscribe. Water Cooler, one word, weirdly, but it'll help. It'll be easier to find it. So, Water Cooler.
Oh, you mean Gary's podcast?
Yeah, Gary's podcast. Gary's on it. Matt Fondelier's on it. Dawson, Kalen, sometimes Dylan. Who knows?
It's cool he invites you guys on every week.
Yeah, it's very kind. Very kind. All right. Until then, we'll see you next weekend. Let's get out of here, Gio. We're done. We did our work. So, till next weekend, my name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Bye, everybody. Mahalo and get it on.